I returned to Mexico City in 1986. I was lured by the sordid, thrilling cauldron of mysterious activity. The past lingered over a decrepit, crumbling Centro Histórico, which had been brought to its knees by the recent earthquake. The Centro intrigued me. I observed dusty alleys and hallways into which scurried enigmatic characters who disappeared into their anachronistic places of business. Photographers hidden under a cloth with a huge camera like those in silent movies took oval sepia portraits. Nightclubs featured old-fashioned cabaret performers, acts with names like Yolanda y Superla Negra. Food decidedly caught my attention.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything, and I'm here with Nicholas Gilman. I know for sure I am in Mexico City, but Nicholas, where am I?
You are in downtown Mexico City, what we know as and call the Centro Histórico, or the Historic Center. We are at the epicenter of where it all started, where 300 yards or so from the great cathedral, which is built with the foundation stones of the great pyramid of Tenochtitlan, the center of the Aztec kingdom. That's where we are.
Wow. I have to say, it's taken me a little bit to adjust. It's a little bit of global warming, but it's very cool today. You can hear that we're in a city. We got noises, and this is definitely, we're not in a studio, but I am looking around. We're inside of a restaurant, and you're going to tell us about it. But I am just blown away. I know I'm looking at historical stones, but it's also completely modern. And I guess that's a metaphor for Mexico today.
That is definitely a metaphor for modern Mexico. We are in a historic building, a colonial building that's over 300 years old. This is a modern Mexican restaurant that's based on tradition, but has turned tradition upside down. I'd like to talk a little bit about the background of this whole area and set it in its place. We are in what has always been, or at least since the colonial era of the 19th century and before, where the area where people went out, where people lived, where the culture was based, where religion was based, and later in the 20th century, where nightlife was based. And every fancy restaurant, department store, theater, concert hall, nightclub was around here. And what happened was, like many downtowns across the world, this area started to fall into a decline in the late 20th century. But it was really accelerated by the big earthquake that you probably know about, of 1985, that just put a nail in the coffin. It was terribly, terribly damaged. The whole area after the earthquake was shut down. Big grand hotels fell, houses fell, all kinds of buildings fell, government buildings fell. The government buildings are based down here too.
Nicholas, just to contextualize a little bit. So when I think of 85 and I think of declining downtowns and all of this, I mean, I think in the United States of Faneuil Hall in Boston, and I think about South Street Seaport in New York and many places all around America that went through this incredible decline in the 60s or 70s and then at some point came out of it.
Here it happened a little bit later. It really was all about that earthquake, Mexico City. And it was also for some of the same reasons that it was happening in the United States. These downtown areas were thought to be dangerous and unsavory. And that was true here, too. But the earthquake really destroyed it, and people stopped coming. They felt it was dangerous. There was nothing going on here. 20 years ago, when I came to Mexico, I used to stay down here, but at night it was dead. There was absolutely nothing happening. You could have heard a pin drop. There were no stores open. There were no restaurants open. It was just over. And that started to change about 2 or 3 years ago when Carlos Slim, who's one of the richest men in the world, started to invest in this area and, for probably reasons of his own, wanted to bring it back. And it has come back.
So this is a very recent occurrence then?
It's a very recent occurrence. It's all within the last 3 or 4 years.
To set the scene, when I walked into this restaurant downstairs, there's a small shop in the front, and I walk into the restaurant, and I could be anywhere in the world, meaning for a well-put-together restaurant, the service scape, the tables, the lighting. I mean, everything is interesting. Everything is absolutely clean and spotless and thoughtful, and I have no idea that I'm anywhere but someplace that is composed. When you walk into that kind of restaurant, you immediately feel relaxed. You immediately feel the hospitality of the place.
Yes, but you say anywhere in the world, but not, because when you look close, every detail of this place is about Mexico. The architecture is about Mexico, the design, all the elements that go into the design and the furniture and the artwork on the walls, the products being sold in that nice shop that you talk about at the entrance. Then you sit down, you hear Mexican music. Everything on the menu is Mexican. Everything in the bar, and that's something that they're particularly proud of here, is Mexican. And this kind of restaurant, a new restaurant in the center, had not opened on this scale for many decades. This was the first to open 3 years ago. There are some old elegant restaurants, but very few. And it really was a sign of the revival of the downtown, because it's what I call a modern Mexican restaurant. It's postmodern, in fact. And there wouldn't have been a public for it a few years ago.
It's certainly postmodern. I haven't had a chance to try the food, obviously. I think we will today for sure. But I was offered a beer earlier by Juan Pablo, a gentleman we're going to be speaking to. And again, as a restaurant operator in New York, what I know is the commercial beers that are exported. And here he has a whole list of craft beer.
He doesn't serve those commercial beers in this one.
We know craft beer. We know that is a culture, a juggernaut all of its own. But to find it here and to find it, what I had was excellent, and that it's local. And that's, it blew me away, in fact.
Of course, going on in the city in general, at most of the high-end restaurants, and even some of the middle-level restaurants, people, chefs, cooks, restaurant owners are taking advantage of the amazing bounty that we have in this area and in Mexico in general. We're an amazing country. We have everything from soup to nuts, quite literally.
I want to say something. You say you are now a Mexican citizen, yes?
I am.
So we.
We.
So thank you for showing me around your country.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Let me ask you about that. As an immigrant, so to speak, I know you've lived here for many, many years. Does it give you an eye, you think, that maybe things that locals don't see?
Absolutely. So many people have said to me that it takes somebody from outside to see and appreciate the riches that this country has to offer, especially when it comes to what is my field of interest, which is food. I think that people in their own country don't always see. And when it comes to the city itself, people tell me about how amazed they are that I will go to these neighborhoods, markets, holes in the wall, to eat, because I have no fear of them, the places that they have never been themselves. I think that aspect of it is true. And the other aspect of it that I bring with me as an American-born person is the idea that I can and should do something that nobody has done before. I have that sort of American ingenuity that I brought down here with me. So when I came, I started compiling all this information about local food, and it was my idea to do a book because nobody had done the book before. I think that's very American, don't you?
I definitely agree. It is American in both a literary sense and a trailblazing sense, and that we need to know, we want to know where to go when we're traveling. We want to research and think about it. I think understanding where we are in which country, which city, which part of the city, and I think when you hear it in Spanish, maybe it doesn't necessarily resonate with everybody, but the way you said it, the historical center of the city, because we all know that no matter what town we grew up in, whether it was in Vermont, where there's an old town center, Sheep Meadow, to someone who grew up in Boston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, wherever, you know, we know that old.
Well, that's certainly true in the West. It's not so true in Asian cities. I just got back from a tour of China and Thailand, and Asian cities don't have downtowns, and it's very hard for us to understand that. They have no center. There is no center of Tokyo. There are many centers of Tokyo and Bangkok, but all Latin cities are based on the European model, which is basically Spain, and evolve around a centra. And we have, in fact, not two or three blocks from where we're sitting right now, the largest public plaza in the Americas, in North or South America. I think it's third after Tiananmen Square and Red Square in Moscow in sheer size. And on one side of it is the Metropolitan Cathedral. The other side is the government palace where president holds court. And it's surrounded by government buildings, but it has since the very beginning been the center of the city. And the city kind of expanded out from that.
So as we're talking about expansion and we're talking about growth, and here we are in Mexico City, in the center of the city, and we're talking about the food here, and not just the cultural, historical food, although certainly that's my interest, but we all know that now food, and as people seek and entertainment, but they seek experiences, food is an incredible experience because we all need to experience it on a regular basis to sustain us. And we know throughout the world now this culinary tourism is growing. So what I think, if this makes sense, I don't know if there was anything else that you prepared to say, but that I think what we should do now is really have a conversation about the ingredients and about how that's used here. I think that would put it all in context.
As you probably know, certain aspects of Mexican cuisine have been recognized by UNESCO in the past couple of years as being, I don't know how to say it in English, patrimonio de la humanidad.
Part of the patrimony of the country.
Of humanity. And it is finally being seen and recognized and talked about the fact that Mexican gastronomy is a very complex and big thing. And unfortunately, most people outside of the country don't know about it. They know what they know through American fast food versions of it.
A quick plug for the New York City Food Film Festival, of which I am a co-creator. We did a film a few years ago about how Mexican cuisine has influenced the world. It talks about what we would think of as a non-Mexican dish, but the film goes through a whole bunch of these, and each one it relates to how it essentially originated in Mexico.
Well, you know that certain ingredients that are essential to other cuisines around the world, such as chilies, came from Mexico. Chocolate came from Mexico. Certain spices came from Mexico. Squash came from Mexico. Many tomatoes. What could be more essential to much of the Mediterranean than tomatoes? They came from Mexico. They were brought by the Spaniards. They were brought by the Portuguese traders to the Philippines and later to Asia. And there were no chilies in China. There were no chilies in India before the Americas were so-called discovered. And that is just the top of the iceberg. It was always a back and forth. We're talking about migration now. And I hope to speak with my friend, another chef, Josefina Santa Cruz, who is going to tell us all about that because that's her specialty. The interchange that has gone on, it's not just contemporary, current globalization that many of us kind of celebrate and lament at the same time. It's been going on for 500 years.
It's true. And this is exactly the point that the particular film made, and that we have to find this way to keep our local things, but that to understand that we're in the global village. And that's why I'm really excited about the conversation that we're going to have today. In as much as, again, I had a beer a few moments ago, I mentioned that I could have been served that beer in Brooklyn.
Yes.
But I wasn't. I was served it in Mexico City, but it's a world-class beer. And local ingredients done, I think if I was to try a sampling of the beers, which I would not want to do before having a conversation, prefer to be sober for this. But my guess is that I would find some unique flavors. And if I got to understand the ingredients.
Obviously, beer is kind of a unifying force. They have beer around the world. They have chicken around the world. There are certain foods that are really very global and have been for a very long time. But we had a German population, German immigration in Mexico in the 19th century, and they're the ones that brought beer. So it's been part of the culture here for over 100 years, well, 150 years, I would say.
I'm really excited, and I know we'll get to talk about some of the more famous Mexican beverages, the tequilas and the mezcals and all of that as well. So I think this is a good place to pause.
Okay.
And I'm going to change the batteries before we begin, but did you want to go through any of that? You want to do that?
Yeah, sure. I'll read that just. So I just wanted to read you something that I found, an essay about Mexico City, about this downtown area that I think is very interesting, about the experiences of how it was many years ago, but really in recent history.
Please do.
I returned to Mexico City in 1986. I was lured by the sordid, thrilling cauldron of mysterious activity. The past lingered over a decrepit, crumbling Centro Histórico, which had been brought to its knees by the recent earthquake. The Centro intrigued me. I observed dusty alleys and hallways into which scurried enigmatic characters who disappeared into their anachronistic places of business. Photographers hidden under a cloth with a huge camera like those in silent movies took oval sepia portraits. Quack doctors cured things you didn't know existed. Stores offered statues of the Virgin, artificial limbs, and electric appliances whose designs hadn't been updated in decades. Nightclubs featured old-fashioned cabaret performers, acts with names like Yolanda y Superla Negra. Food decidedly caught my attention. Alluring aromas emanated from ancient taquerias, whose aquamarine walls were blackened by decades of greasy smoke. Bowtie-clad waiters served now-extinct beverages and midnight breakfasts at the time-worn Café Cinco de Mayo. Old-timers imbibed at century-old pulquerias and cantinas, downing the free botanas and reminiscing about better times. I boldly entered these places as if I belonged, like Alice in some low-rent Latin urban wonderland. I embraced this world of the living past with open arms, exploring using only a guidebook filled with decades-old tourist cliches. The imminent danger of a midnight stroll up the busy Eje Central, remnants of its show business past still evident, never occurred to me. I thought the pimps and whores lurking in doorways were somehow my friends and would protect me. Fortunately, nothing had ever happened. I entered a romantic and imaginary world of the past, now part of my mythical self. I decided to stay.
Wow. Who wrote that? Where did you get that?
I did.
You did. So, wow. So that's your journey.
That's my journey.
And that's the only reason I'm here today, here.
And you can read my review at goodfoodmexicocity.com. Just look for Limosneros. www.goodfoodmexicocity.com.
This is Harry Hawk, and this has been Talking About Everything. I hope everybody has a great day. Bye-bye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement, between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.